Ace analyst and scout for TSN. Butts, how are you?
I am good. I just listened to this. I can't believe I just heard Stretti in bed before midnight on a Saturday night. Yeah, right. From what I understand, he used to go right from church on Sunday from the Saturday nights. Never even saw the bed.
Craig, I wish I had the discipline I do now when I was 25, but unfortunately I was led down the wrong path by my teammates.
And all these years, I thought you were a leader, not a follower.
No, follower. After 10 o'clock on Saturday, I was a follower. The rest of the time, I was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Craig, you look at the Edmonton Oilers right now, and you know they've got some challenges. But, you know, as a GM, you've just let's put yourself in a situation where maybe you've just signed a goalie to a significant deal, and you know, he's I get the sense Jack's really putting a lot of pressure on himself, and it hasn't quite worked out so far the way that he had wanted, and the team and the fans probably a little bit antsy. So, well, is there ever a conversation between the GM and a goalie or a player that is struggling after you sign him to a big contract?
Well, I had exactly the same situation, so I can talk from experience. You know, we had traded for Roman Turek in the summer of 2001. He came in at the beginning of the next season. And, you know, he was in the last year of his contract. We had talked a little bit about a contract extension. And then we signed him to a five-year contract extension, ironically. And, you know, and Roman was really good, you know, probably through about, I'm going to say, 12, 15 games. And then he after he signed the contract, it was almost like, He just put this enormous pressure on himself, as you point out, Jason. And, you know, and I think one of the things is that when you can talk to a player and just kind of remind him, hey, listen, you know what, you're good. And I knew Roman. We had drafted him in Dallas. I knew him. I had a great relationship with him. But what I only realized it after, and when I say after, many years after, and talking to Roman after he retired, he put so much pressure on himself. He knew that Calgary was a big-time market. He knew that Calgary had made the playoffs. He felt that he had to do everything in his power to make sure Calgary, you know, got into the playoffs. And it took away from not only some of his game, but it also weighed on him. And now it's sapped his energy. You know, a lot of times it's not so much the physical energy that you got to manage. It's also your mental energy. And he said he didn't handle it very well. He said it really, he said he wanted to perform, and I had no doubt about that. But, you know, like I said, it was only years later and talking to him that I realized that you try to talk to him, you try to remind the player, hey, this is who you are, this is what you are. Grant Fuhr was working with our goaltenders at the time. So, you know, it's one thing to say you got the support, but Roman just put such an inordinate amount of pressure on himself that it impacted his play. And he never really found his way out of it, to be honest with you.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. And you know, Craig, like, there's only so many options, right, with your goaltender. You let him work on it with the goalie coach. You maybe let him slug it out in a few games, or you send him to the minors. Like, those are really only your options, right? Like, no one's trading for Jack Campbell. Now that's not even an option. So in your experience, like, a lot of it, the goaltending position, it seems to be mental from year to year. Like, you look at Jacob Markstrom, came out last night after the game. I'm not very good at hockey right now. I suck. I need to be better. You know, Bobrovsky's struggling mightily. Thatcher Demko, who was unreal last year for Vancouver, he got hurt last night, but he was struggling with an .883. Fleury's under .900. I know there's more goals in the league now than ever, but there does seem to be a lot more established goalies struggling from year to year now. Like, it's really difficult to know what you have in a goalie or seemingly what you're going to get at the start of the season for 80% of the teams.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, Jason. And let's throw in Igor Shesterkin. I mean, he made his comment last week after they lost. He said the goaltender was crappy. And much like Markstrom said last night. And, you know, we're talking about Shesterkin, who won the Vezina last year, Markstrom, who was the runner-up, Marc-Andre Fleury, who's had a great year. You know, you look back to Jordan Binnington after he won the Stanley Cup, so I think there's a couple of things that come into it. Number one is that the players are faster. The game is more wide open. You know, the skill of the players in terms of being able to attack and the way they attack. It attacks as a goaltender. Number two, and I think it falls right hand in hand with what I just talked about with the skill, you know, everybody's breaking down the goaltenders. You know, opposing coaches are breaking down goaltenders. So there's this constant, you know, here's what you got to do to beat the goaltender. The goaltender's got to adjust. There comes a point in time, how many adjustments can a goaltender make? How many adjustments can you make? I mean, it's one of the things, you know, with pitchers. And I equate a lot of times the mental part of pitching with the mental part of goaltending. But the pitcher's going to stand in the same place on the mound, 60 feet, 6 inches from the plate, and throw the ball. And, you know, you might want to try to keep it to the knees, you get a little bit higher. For the goaltenders now, I mean, the way the game is played, the way the players attack, it comes at them in so many different ways that I think that goaltenders run into these stretches where they really are vulnerable. And I think it shows up, and I think it shows up year to year. I think it shows up, you know, within a season. And I think that becomes a real significant factor in when we see the goaltenders, good goaltenders that have shown how good they can be, struggle somewhat.
Greg, when you look at, you know, Ken Holland made the trade for Costin in just before the season, wherever it was. But, you know, how do you, like, when you're a GM, do you, like, try to fall in love with this player right away and you just trade for it? Do you want to see what he's all about? Like, how do you kind of manage that? I don't know if, you know, the expectation or maybe the sense you have of the player and what you think he might be able to do for your team.
Yeah, I think you absolutely, you know, you bring a new player in, whether it be a free agent or through a trade, you want to see that player do well, and you want to see that player do well, like, right from day one. So there is a little bit of a quiet rooting for that player, because you've gone through the process of talking about the player, and then you've gone through the successful acquisition of the player, and whether, like I said, whether it be a free agent or in a trade. But I think you also have to think about a couple of things. Okay, like in the case of a player coming from a different team, you know, that's played in the league, a player like Costin who's trying to find his game. You know, like, as much as a player feels this sense of renewed hope and a renewed opportunity, you still got to find your game. You still got to, you know, get comfortable playing your game. And now you got to get comfortable playing in a new era, in a new environment. And then the coach has to get comfortable with you. You know, I find, Jason, a lot of times one of the biggest challenges is you can talk to the coach and talk to the coach and tell them what we're getting, but the coach is coaching to make a difference right now. Right in this game, right here, right now, and has to feel comfortable, you know, putting a player in different situations. So, you know, I think there's a requisite amount of patience that has to go with the acquisition of any player, and certainly a player like Costin, who has come in, you know, and still hasn't established himself as an NHL player. You know, you have to be really patient with him and allow him and the coach to find that balance of hey, this is what I can offer you. Now you can trust me. That takes sometimes longer than anybody wants it to occur.
You're the Vancouver Canucks now, Craig, and you know, maybe Demko, I don't know if he was playing with a nagging injury or not, but now he's obviously out, and you know, you got Spencer Martin to go in. Would you look for a veteran to back up Martin, or do you just call up guys from the minors, or does it all depend on, like, let's say Demko's out 2 months. Do you need a backup to help protect Martin even more, or does it matter?
Yeah, well, Spencer's a little bit older. Like, you know, he's not, like, we're not talking about a 21-year-old goaltender. I think any time you can add experience into that position, somebody that's got some maturity to them and, you know, can understand, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, play games and help the team win, and at the same time, I'm going to have to support this other goaltender. And Spencer doesn't have a lot of wear on his tread, so you can go and look for that. But again, who are those guys? Who are those goaltenders out there that you can go and acquire? You know, like, and I think that a lot of the work in that regard has to happen in the off season. And, you know, an understanding that a third goaltender is really important for an organization. Look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, Eric Schallgren became a real significant player for that organization with the injuries to Matt Murray and to Ilya Samsonov. So I think that, you know, if you're trying to go and find that guy, you know, mid-season, or early in the season, whatever it is, that's not easy to do. And it's not easy to find the players you describe. You can find a goaltender. You can find a goaltender with experience, but can you find the goaltender that's going to provide what you want? Because I think every team is trying to hold on to those goaltenders. They're not trying to trade them.
Joined by Craig Button, talking all things NHL here on The Gregor Show on TSN 1260. I'm Jason Strudwick. Craig, the Montreal Canadiens, how would you evaluate what Marty St. Louis and his players have accomplished this year?
I think it's been real terrific. You know, I called the game last night in Calgary for the Montreal region. And, you know, I mean, Caden Gooley's playing the right side. He's a young defenseman. Arbor Jack, a young defenseman trying to find his way. You know, you got Jordan Harris, young defenseman trying to find his way. I think Marty St. Louis, Stefan Robida, you know, Trevor Letowski, Alex Gross, you know, they're spending time with the players. They're working with the group. I see a really focused effort in them. I see that they're working on details, like trying to get organized. It's hard when you're playing a good team, Jason, and you know, as a young defenseman, you know, sometimes you're just trying to keep your head above water. I thought that in the game versus Calgary on Thursday night, that there was times when they were under pressure, but they understood that, like, okay, we're not gonna capsize here, and I think that goes into the coaching. I think up front, I mean, their skill level drops off. You know, they're not loaded with a ton of skill. So, but I see a team that can skate, and I see a team that has some spirit to their play. Last night, Jake Allen was tremendous, and in the third period, he was lights out, great. But I see just real positives. Now, is the team good enough to make the playoffs? Not even close. Is the team working to develop their young players and be patient with the young players? Absolutely they are. And am I seeing progress in those young players? Yes, I am. So I think when you look at it from a coaching point of view and realizing what they're trying to do, I think they're doing a real terrific job with the group there, the young players. And you know, Gallagher doesn't play in the game last night. You know, Hoffman's hurt. He's out of the lineup. But I just see them continuously, you know, building the players' games. And everybody's going to be different with respect to what they need. But I think the coaches are providing it.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. You mentioned you were in Calgary, Craig, for that game last night. What do you make of the Flames' start this season? What are they missing?
Well, the one thing that really strikes me as significant, I don't see a real hunger in and around the net. You know, I use this analogy all the time. You know, in football, if you cannot control the line of scrimmage on the offensive end and the defensive end, you are not going to have success. Well, the hockey's line of scrimmage is the slot area. If you don't defend the slot area, you're not going to be very good defensively. And if you don't get into the offensive zone slot, you're not going to score. The Calgary Flames have a lot of empty calories. Like, you know, you look at the 45 shots. After the second period last night, it was 5-5 slot shots at 5-on-5. After the second, now Calgary got some leg up in the third period, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough what the Calgary Flames are doing. You know, I watching their games. Oh yeah, we got 40 shots. They had 40 shots against Tampa Bay. I think they had 4 slot shots. So if you want to keep dining out on the outside, go ahead. You know, you're not going to have success until you get into the slot area, you drive the net, you drive pucks in there, you drive bodies in there. I see a team that is woefully light in the offensive slot area. And if that doesn't change and they don't get a lot heavier and a lot harder, they're going to continue to struggle scoring.
Craig, one last one for you. I know it's the Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Jason Robertson, emerging as quite the goal scorer. He's got 22 Genos so far this season. Second in league scoring. Now, he had a pretty good year last year. No question about it. And really, I think if you look at he's got like 57 goals or something in his last 88 games. Like, he is, you know, this isn't just a 20-game hot streak. What has been the most impressive part of the evolution of Robertson in your eyes the last few years?
What I would say is the pace of his game. I think he understands. He's not one of these great skaters, but That doesn't mean you can't have pace to your game. How do you have pace to your game? You're really quick moving the puck. You're quick recognizing that when I move the puck, I'm going to the next spot. You're not kind of sizing it up. I see a lot of flow to his game offensively. And, you know, that's how you get your pace going. So you have the puck, you give it up, now you get to the next spot. I mean, obviously he plays with two really good players, Joe Pavelski and Rupa Hintz. But you, when you're playing with good players, you got to take advantage of what they offer you. But what I would say is he was always a good offensive player. I mean, you go back to junior hockey. I mean, he was a very, very good offensive player. But at the NHL, you have to be able to not only process quickly, but do things quickly. And that's not always just about Connor McDavid's speed, because, quite frankly, there's only one guy that has Connor McDavid's speed. But you've got to be able to play it at a high tempo and a high pace and do things quickly. I think that's been the biggest development in his game.
Great stuff, Craig. We appreciate it, man. Have yourself an awesome weekend.
You guys have an awesome weekend, too. Be well.